You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in to this episode of Mama's Talkin' Loud. I'm Jessica Rush.
And I'm Kara Cooper. The last time we spoke to today's guest, she was deep in the world of new motherhood, pumping in the bathroom at the Tony Awards and preparing to return to her Tony-nominated role in Jagged Little Pill.
Today, she joins us to discuss what it was like to job share on Broadway, the emotional whiplash that Omicron brought, and how she is learning to balance her career and motherhood moving forward. Here's the conclusion of our Returning Reborn series with Elizabeth Stanley. Well, good morning. Let's jump in, Elizabeth.
Okay.
Welcome back.
It's been, I think, probably like 6 months since we talked to you.
Well, how old's the baby?
Well, she's just over 7 months.
So that would be about right.
Last time she was just like happily sleeping. I was able to hold her. And now I was like, oh, she's not going to just sit still on my lap anymore.
Oh, no. Oh, my gosh. Have you sent her out? Is she on a walk or out? It's so cold today, though.
I know. I tried to take her to the park, and she was a little like, what's happening?
I feel the same way.
Same. I was like, oh, spring, come on. You can do it. But no, she's sleeping right now, so we'll see how long that lasts. But for now, she's sleeping.
Oh, good. Mm. Well, I remember her just cooing and nursing and all the things. And you were in the throes of, you know, the out of, my husband always says it's like being in outer space, right? Like the outer space mode of the beginning and where time has lost all meaning. And is it day? Is it night? You're covered in the spit up, all the things. And you were discussing returning to your show.
Yeah.
And since we spoke with you,
you
returned, and unfortunately, you're not there anymore because the show closed with the Omicron variant. So, there's so much. We're going to back up a little bit.
This is a journey.
So many layers.
Yes, so many layers. But we would love to hear how it came about. You touched a little on it last time about sharing the job with Heidi, Blinkenstaff, and what that was like for you, because obviously this is a conversation that we are deeply interested in and invested in. I know that Amber Gray is role sharing or was role sharing at Hadestown and, or is going to do that at Macbeth.
She is not sure again.
Yeah. It's like, and then that someone in the West End is doing it, an ensemble player. Here in America, I think there's a lot more that goes into it. However, to see these principals doing that, yourself and Amber, gives us hope, I think. Was that a conversation that was right off the bat they were open to, or did you have to push for that? Will you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I definitely had to push for it. I mean, I felt very supported by the creative team. You know, as soon as I said, like, I'm having a baby, everyone was like, oh my God. And, you know, and was like, whatever, you know, however we can support you, we're here. And so that was great because I did feel like I was in a good position to really think about what support looked like for me. But ultimately, I was just like, going back to work when she's like 2 months old or barely 2 months old just feels – it just felt more extreme than what I wanted to do, right? So, I mean, some people have to do that, but I kind of felt like – I'm a freelance artist, so, you know, I like sometimes you just have to take the work that you have, right? And so I didn't want to like not return at all, plus having the show closing as it did and all that we'd been through the last couple of years. Like I was anxious to get back. So I wasn't keen to just be like, I'm not going back into the show ever. And I also wasn't keen to be like, I'm going to wait till she's 7 months old or whatever. Because I missed the show and it was like breaking my heart to not be there as it reopened. But I kind of accepted that part of it. And then once I accepted that I wasn't going to be there for the reopening, it, you know, made it easier for me to wrap my head around, like, oh, well, maybe I could continue to not be there full time. Maybe I could continue to, you know, share this with someone else. And so when I first brought the idea to the producers, they were like, I just don't think that we'll be able to get someone else who wants to only do it part time. You know, like, we can't imagine that an actress wouldn't just be like, I have to do it the whole time. And I was like, really?
You're like, really?
Because this schedule is not it, y'all. So I think there's plenty of people that would like more than one day
off
a week.
Sign up for that.
Yeah. And, you know, and so the more we talked about it, I think, like, I just explained, I was like, the way that I'm going to feel supported and you're saying you want to support me, what that looks like to me is more time with my child. You know, and so, you know, it came to be that, it, you know, it was Heidi, and I have to say, like, she was just so incredible. So generous. Like, she and I had a really open, really transparent relationship all through the rehearsal process, because there was so much to unpack. I think every Broadway show that went back into rehearsals was like, you're not only putting the show up, but you're like healing and talking and excavating all that has happened in the time since you closed, right? In a lot of ways. So some of that we did over Zoom as a company, and I was able to participate in that. But then there was a lot of stuff that happened in the room that I wasn't present for. And so that kind of stuff, I really appreciated Heidi, like, just bringing me into it and saying, if you want to know, if you have the space to hold what's happening in the room, like, here are the emotions. This is what's happening with, you know, this person, and these are the conversations that are being had. So that was, like, invaluable. And then also, same thing, like, she was being given creative freedom to kind of make things her own, which was my dream for her. But she was also really respectful of, like, I know this is your baby that you created, and I don't want to disrespect that or change it so much that you come back and you're like, what is this?
That's a really classy move. I'd like to think that it's a given, but I don't think it is. I know it's not. And so for her to be so aware and so conscious and conscientious, I have my Invisalign in, you guys. to be aware of that and respectful is really, that's classy.
Yeah, it really, really was. And, you know, and then ultimately also was so, like, generous then when I would go back and we'd be, like, sharing different, like, wait, I can't remember what I did here. Or, like, you know, Diane keeps giving me a note that I should get a laugh here, but which must mean that you're getting a laugh here. Like, what are you doing? You know, so we were having those kind of comments. And then also, like, really, really honest and vulnerable comments of, like, you know, like, when I saw the invited dress, you know, I was just like, and then, like, all the accolades, of course, that, like, all of our friends were giving her online. Like, I was like, oh, there's a part of my ego that's just like, and she said the same thing. You know, she's like, when we were in rehearsal and Diane was like, you know, Elizabeth's going to be starting back and rehearsing with me, like, and the whole company was just like, oh, we love her. We can't wait. She's like, you know, my ego is a little like, oh. And I think that particular, like, vulnerability with each other was probably the most profound one to me, because it's easy to kind of put on the good face and be like, I'm going to be generous with you in some ways. I mean, that's its own kind of hard, but I think it's harder to be like, I love you, but I also, like, care about myself and my career and my, you know, whatever, all the things that we want. And sharing is hard.
Yeah, just acknowledging that it's hard.
Yeah. But so it was really great while it lasted. And it was really awesome to feel also that, like, as a new mom, not knowing what that was going to be like, it took some of the pressure out, right, to go back and feel like, if I get there and I'm just like, whoa, this was way harder than I thought it was, or whoa, what if my baby gets sick? Am I going to be letting everyone down and stressing the company out by, you know, calling out frequently or whatever I need to do? And you just don't know when you become a new parent. And I think each, even if you already have kids, right, they have another one, like every kid is their own person. And so I just really, really am so grateful that it worked out the way that it did until we closed.
That the amount of work that you did it feel manageable for you as a new mom? Did that kind of job share, you know, the emotions aside of what that meant to share a role with someone, but the actual time that was needed of you, did that feel manageable as a new mom? Did you feel like what you fought for worked for you?
I think the short answer is yes. I mean, it was still hard, right? So it really made me be like, whoa, people who like didn't have this luxury and were doing it at, you know, 8 shows a week, I'm just like, that would have been really, really hard. You know, it was hard on my relationship with Charlie, because, which we knew it would be, but it was stressful, like not ever seeing each other and then also not ever having free time, either one of us. So we, you know, he was working all day and then doing childcare at night, and then I was doing flip flop. And so that was hard. Even with the part-time, it was, you know, I kind of felt like on the days when I didn't have the show to go to, I was like, oh, it was really a relief. But then when I got there, I was so happy to be there and have that part of myself. So I still wouldn't change it. You know, I'm still grateful that I was able to work. And the other thing that was really challenging for me is like, I don't have an amazing milk supply. So that was like really, I mean, you can always use formula, of course, but like it's, I don't know, there's always, that wasn't what we were doing. And so the idea of like changing what we were doing felt stressful in the moment. And so it's just like, whenever I would pump, I would get like drops, you know? And so that kind of like, oh my gosh, how many minutes am I going to be away from her? Are you going to go through the stash that we have? That was stressful.
Well, and then thus that also affects your supply, and then it goes down. And I mean, it's all, oh,
it's wildly stressful. I remember like my baby was sleeping through the night, but in order to have enough milk for her when I was back at work, I was waking up in the middle of the night, like she was still waking up and pumping in the middle of the night, because I was like, this is the only way I'm going to have enough for her, which, you know, I ended up giving her formula at like 12 months and it was totally fine. It's not a big deal. But in that moment, it felt so, I don't know, that was the thing I decided to stress out about. There's plenty of things you can stress out about as a new mom, but that was the thing that I was like, this is something I'm going to try to control.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, how long were you back before it all shut down with Omicron? Also, wait, before we go to that though. Oh,
go ahead. What were you going
to
say?
I was going to ask about coming back to work during COVID with an infant that was not vaccinated amongst all of, you know, I was stressed just going back because Elliot couldn't be vaccinated until the fall, right? Because they didn't approve it till then. But like, there was a time where Eric was at Waitress and I was at Tina and our child was unvaccinated. And to know that these two companies, we have to trust the people that they're going to be as responsible as possible. You know, this was at the end of the summer, beginning of the fall, where we still, even though people were vaxxed and boosted, that was the first time we were really gathering in these groups. Yeah. And then to be unmasked on stage, like I remember that it was a massive stressor, to be honest, you know. And so there was relief once Elliot was vaccinated, and you don't have that option, obviously. And so you're there singing and having these intimate moments on stage, like just with fellow actors as we do, and breathing and spitting and, you know, all the things. How was that?
I think I was so stressed about so many other things that I wasn't as stressed about that. Our pediatrician had, you know, was very reassuring. Like she's like, from what we've seen, it's not severe in babies. And so she made us feel comfortable. I mean, there's still like the thing in the back of your head that's like, what about the long-term things that we don't know? And they're so little and, you know, but yeah, I wasn't as scared as I know. I definitely had lots of friends who were, I think, that had like toddlers or young children that were, I think, more keyed into like the stress about it.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it so interesting? You said there, I had so many things to be stressed out about. That wasn't one of them. Like that's where we live. We're like, well, there's so many things to be stressed out about. Right. These top three are taking the cake right now, but tomorrow maybe something else. Like that's just where we are. That's where we live.
I know. Yeah. Yikes.
Yikes is right. I was going to say before we go into the shutdown of Jagged Little Pill, just in case our listeners don't know, which I'm assuming most of them do because they're Broadway people, but you returned to Jagged Little Pill and then it shut down because of COVID cases, like almost every Broadway show did right around the holidays. Lots of shows had to shut down because there were too many cases. And your show never reopened. Right. Whereas many shows did, most shows did.
Yeah.
But just in case our listeners didn't know that that's what happened, can you tell us about that? I mean, obviously you were shut down because of COVID, and then how did everything proceed and how did you handle it?
I mean, it was a time. It was a time.
I mean, it was also the holidays too, which is just
Yeah. So it was like my first, my very first show back. Actually, like our COVID officer, I went back in November. I think it was like the middle of November. I know it was before Thanksgiving. She sent me a text like before half hour, and it was like a group text to all the principals that was like, "Go and get tested immediately." And I was like, oh my God, is this like the norm? And then she's like, I'll tell you what's going on when I see you at the testing site. And so then I saw all the people. And so it was like a person on our crew who was masked, had a family member test positive. And so she was like, I'm just starting with, you know, part of the cast first while we're waiting on like the other results for that, you know? So and it ended up that day was fine. That person came back negative and whatever. And at the time we thought that was fine. But so I guess I would just say like the whole time I was back, it felt like it was like crazy, you know, the beginning of the end again, right?
Oh my gosh.
So it just, I don't know, it just kind of kept happening. So I remember that when they, we knew the night that we were leaving that we were going to be shut down for a few days. And I remember Catherine Gallagher was like, I'm taking everything home, which she did. In the original shutdown, she was like, we're not coming back. And I was like, Catherine, come on. Don't be so dramatic.
I did that too. And everybody was like, Jessica, come on.
And then I texted her like 2 days later and I was like, I've never been more mad that you're right. Like, cause I was like, well, this is not going to happen to us again. Do you know what I mean? Like the one time, okay, that was wild. Like once in a lifetime moment. Like I just never thought that the producers didn't have a plan in place. You know, I think that's what was so utterly like shocking and disappointing was that like, well, we all knew this was a possibility and a likelihood that we would need to take a pause again. And it just, I was like floored and kind of still am that their plan was to close it or they had no plan or I don't know what the deal was, but I don't know. I'm not a producer, so I don't pretend to know all that went into that decision. But I was doing another little like side hustle gig. I don't know if you saw the like South Park videos that and I did. Yeah. And I was doing that and my in-laws were here like watching Solveig because Charlie was out of town. And I was like, oh, I have to get back in time for this company Zoom. And I thought for sure they were going to be like, here's the plan or here, you know, we're going to be closed for a few more days or we've hired more swings so that like we can keep going. You know, I think I was so distracted by how hard I was working to like make it all happen and be back at work with the baby that it was like not on my radar that they were going to say we're closing forever. So it was real. I was devastated. I was really like, oh my God, we worked so hard. You know, as I think probably people listening know, like there were a lot of really difficult conversations and a lot of internet conversations and a lot of hurt and a lot of pain to work through for a lot of people in remounting our show. And so everyone who was a part of the reopening was really committed like heart and soul to being there. They believed in the show. They believed in the message. They, I mean, we were like holding each other like family, truly. And so it was like, and then, and I had also, I had it in my contract, which I've never had before, but again, I felt safe doing it because of having Heidi, like had it in my contract that I could be off a week around Christmas. So I could like see my family for baby's first Christmas. And then, I don't know, that happened on the 20th, and then Charlie tested positive for COVID like on the 22nd or something. So I like didn't see my family for Christmas, and Charlie and I were like separate from each other as well. So it was like a really terrible time, as I knew it was for so many people. But yeah, it was
Elizabeth.
A time I don't need to go back to.
No.
Yeah. No. We're sorry for making you relive it.
I know. Oh, no, I'm sorry.
I can kind of laugh about it now. Yeah.
Well, it's just maddening that there was no plan, clearly. You know what I mean? Like, I know, and that's the thing. It's like when we came back for our show, they, you know, our producers were like, we're prepared to operate at a loss. But they didn't say like for how long. So that was our thing. Was like the question mark of like, how long can they operate at a loss? But we all just kept sort of saying like they're prepared to operate at a loss. They're prepared to operate at a loss.
Yeah.
And knowing that this was likely to happen,
right,
like as we return while still in a pandemic, that the likelihood of us having to take a pause. But oh my God, the timing. I just remember thinking like, this timing. It's the time of year where we were finally starting to ramp up. Audiences were coming. It's the holidays. People are in the city. They're doing great. And I was like, if Omicron could have just held out till January 1st,
right?
You know, like
everybody would have been like, fine.
Just like two more weeks. And then they could have built up the reserves and they would have done things. Yeah. And I was just like, this timing, I can't believe it. It's just such an awful, awful thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was
and
brutal.
You never got a taste of like, I mean, I say the word normality with quotations clearly because nothing was normal returning to work. But you said like when you jumped in, it was that constant kind of like people were testing positive, things were starting to tumble toward that the madness of the holidays. Whereas I feel like with you, Jess, and I know for like my husband, there were like several weeks of quote unquote normalcy. I mean, you were still testing, but you were going to work, you were wearing your mask, but like you got your groove. You know what I mean?
It sounds like 2.5 months with no cases.
Yeah.
We had cases at the very beginning during rehearsal. And then we went 2.5 months testing 3 times a week, PCR testing 3 times a week, masking, all the things, and no cases.
Wow.
So we did feel relatively normal. I mean, it's normal as you can feel like wearing a mask, you know, backstage and then doing the things and all the stuff. And there was still the stress of it. Like not just with your job, but just with your health too. You know, it's like this, I said to someone, I said, we can't underestimate the undercurrent, the stress undercurrent that has just been flowing through us now for 2 years in a very amplified way.
Yeah.
You know,
so true. I know.
Oh, I'm sorry, Elizabeth.
We're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSMusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
I'm so glad that while your show is no longer there, but that you did get to do, you recently did Anyone Can Whistle. at Carnegie Hall.
Yeah,
so you got to like, I mean, first off, how do you get to Carnegie Hall?
Hey.
You know, practice. But you got to jump back on stage. You know, in some ways, I would think that was very healing, or at least helpful moving in this next phase.
It really was. It was like all of the above, you know, because it felt like, oh God, you know, I think like the thing with Jagged closing, it was like, I always felt like, oh man, this was such an opportunity for me that I've dreamed of having. And then it felt like, oh my gosh, hardly anyone even got to like see the show. Mm-hmm. And so I was so grateful that Ted Sperling asked me to do that production of Anyone Can Whistle, because it just felt like a chance to be back on stage again in a moment when it was only one night, but I still felt like a lot of people came and it was a really fun score to sing and a fun role to do. And in many ways though, it was a new challenge, right? Because going back to Jagged was like revisiting this thing I'd already learned and created. So I definitely felt like, okay, I'm like a very nerdy, I would say probably an over practicer. Like I'm someone who like, I'm not someone who crams for quizzes. Like I'm like, I do the long game. I study a little bit every night. Right. And so just that was like hard for me as a mom to be like, I don't know if I know this material. Cause my security blanket usually is to like do more homework. And I just didn't have time to do more homework. I definitely felt that crunch. But then the triumph that I was like, well, I mostly did it, you know,
Get used to that. I mostly did it. I feel like that's the undercurrent of motherhood.
Right. But you feel like you mostly did it. But on the internets, honey, the internet said you nailed it.
You nailed it.
Of course you did.
Exactly.
I'm sure you did.
Thank you, internets. Uh-huh. But yeah, like, you know, I felt really like, because, you know, Ted and his husband have twin girls, and Santino and his wife have a 2-year-old, and Vanessa has 4 kids. And so it was a very supportive room of people. In fact, like I posted about this a little bit, but Vanessa Williams bought me a new breast pump, and it was like the greatest gift of all time. She gave me the kind that like goes right into your bra.
Like the Willow. Is that what it's called?
It's not, like it's that? Basically like that. I think this is LV is the brand, but game changing, like life changing, truly. Like she was telling me about it because her daughter just had a baby. And I was like, yeah, I know, but I already have this. And, you know, that's expensive. Whatever. She came in like the next day and like with like a reindeer bag and was like, Merry Christmas.
She's like, let me give you the celebrity version. Let me give you let me level you up, Penny.
I was like, that is the nicest thing. And she was just, I don't know. And also just like, was like bringing me dress options to wear. She was like, oh, you got to feel good. You like, you know, it was just like I felt taken care of in that moment of just like people getting it. And Santino too, he was like, what are you doing? I can't believe you're like breast pumping and learning music and what, I don't know. It's just nice. I mean, like every mom does it, right? Every mom like goes back to work, like has to figure it out, and not everyone gets props like that. So I felt like, it was really nice to be in a room of people who are really like lifting me up.
Yeah. They're seeing you and they're seeing the effort it takes to be a mother, a working mother. I mean, mothers in general, but especially in this business too. It's like, it really, especially you were saying that you don't cram and having to learn new material. I mean, mom brain is a real thing. Yeah. And I can't imagine that was, you know, with Jagged, it was already in your body, right? Muscle memory is a wild thing. And to then have to go in and learn something entirely new with a 7-month-old at 7-month-old at home and doing all the things and still trying to get your footing and figure out how to juggle this new reality that you have, because it's not going to change. It's not like,
I know.
I mean, I hate to tell you, but like it's not like you think, okay, I just have to get through this and then I'll be able to relax. It's like, no, because I hate to tell you, but this is the new normal in your work.
I know. I see it happening and I'm like, oh, help.
It does get somewhat easier, I will say, you know, as they get older in some ways, but
The challenges just start, they shift, they change, you know?
Right, yeah.
And I think in an industry, I think that doesn't acknowledge parents, the fact that your castmates and producers, they all, you know, they recognized what you were going through and you were able to be free about it. You know what I mean? Instead of feeling like you had to keep it under wraps to maintain your professional image or professionalism even, you know, you could really be free about it. And I think that's hopefully what we're moving more towards in our industry and in all industries, to be quite frank, you know?
It's true. I mean, it's hard. I feel that like I've gotten a couple auditions for like self tapes that I've just, you know, I just have not been able to, I've just had to say like, I'm sorry, it didn't happen because it was due the next day and I literally had 0 minutes of time to like memorize the thing and put it on to use this blue screen back here, you know? And that those moments are hard, you know, just in terms of like, well, A, it's you never want to pass auditions up because you're like, well, you know, you want to be grateful for everyone that you have. But it's also, that moment of like, I don't want people to start thinking like, oh, I can't do it or I'm not capable or I'm like overwhelmed with motherhood and I'm not going to be able to keep up with my career anymore. It's like, you know, it's hard not to have that voice in the back of your head because we know that those judgments are out there for some people at least.
Absolutely. Yes,
absolutely. I will say that as I've noticed people on casting teams or in agent offices and things like that, or in management, as they have had children, it's interesting how the shift happens with regard to understanding, with regard to giving grace to those new moms particularly, you know, but like once they're in the trenches and they realize like, oh, this is really hard. Like they're just, it's not, it's like when people think stay-at-home moms just lounge around watching soap operas, you know what I mean? Like then they stay home one day and they go, oh my God, no wonder that the house is always a mess because you had no time to sit down because the baby did this and then this was happening and then throwing the stuff on the floor. It's like it until it happens to you. Right. Yeah, until it happens to you. And then you recognize, and it's like, can't we all just give each other some grace from the beginning, like from the jump? We're all doing the best we can.
That's right.
Truly. I mean, and after you've had these experiences of Jagged and Anyone Can Whistle, and I don't know what you have in your future, how are you envisioning your career now that you are, you know, 7 months into motherhood and understanding obviously what it's like to actually be in it and have your priorities shifted, you know, where I know for me, I don't think I had a long game at that point. I was very much like moment to moment, just trying to, you know, survive and exist. But what are you feeling about your career and how it is converging with motherhood?
I mean, I'm asking myself a lot of questions right now of just like, what do I actually want? You know, if I could choose, what would I want? And it's, I don't know is like the real answer. I mean, for now, the short big picture, like for the summer, I'm kind of looking at hoping I can do some concerts to kind of have some, you know, cash flow here and there, but not be gone for, you know, months at a time or for, you know, every night for a long spell. You know, like a limited run of something in the city or something like that feels like maybe more like that could be fine. But like there have been a few summer stock things that I've looked at and then ultimately have been like, I just don't think this summer is the right summer for that. Like, you know, and that's hard because I'm someone who have always found like a big part of the payment of doing summer stock is like getting to live in a beautiful place, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm always like down for it. I like that experience of like, cool, I get to be outside the city and have a country home, you know, in this cast housing for 2 months. I'm like, I like that. That's not for everyone, but that's harder to swing with like a family. So I'm just sort of like accepting that change. I feel a little, I feel really disenchanted by doing a commercial Broadway production after what I went through with Jagged. It was really like – it was painful.
Yeah.
And that's just like separate from motherhood. But so I'm not like, yes. You know, I'm not just going to say yes to like every audition for a Broadway show that would happen to like pop into my inbox. I'm kind of like, we'll see. Yeah, but – I mean, I still love like I do love the art form, and so I'm hopeful that the right thing will come along that will be like, you know what, that's worth it. Because I'm in that tricky place right now that I'm discovering about myself of like the idea of spending a lot of time away from my child feels so heartbreaking, but the reality of it is not so bad actually, you know. And in some ways, then I feel like I'm more present with her after I've had a break, or I've had some other kind of stimulation that I come back and I feel like I'm a better mom.
That is a common theme with lots of people. I mean, I know it for myself. I feel the same way, but for lots of people we've spoken to. But it does feel like so daunting to make that leap to disconnect, you know,
yes.
Especially when you're with them all the time.
Yeah.
It feels very foreign, but it is very good to fill your cup. But as you said, you know, it's like every opportunity will present itself and the answer will be clear. I mean, it will take some soul searching, I'm sure. I know that's been the case for me and I know it has for Jess, but like that you will know what you're being pulled toward and what you're not, you know?
Yeah.
But it's a big shift from, like you said, when you say yes to every audition and you get all the work done, even though you get the, you know, the audition 12 hours before you need to memorize all the stuff, you know, like you make it work. There are things that shift a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's been one of the most difficult things for me is acknowledging and accepting that my priority is shifting, you know, or that I don't always want to be doing the 8 shows a week. On an unending like journey, you know, like 6 years at Jersey Boys or whatever. It's like for so long, you know, and there's that part of you that's like, take whatever job they offer because there are so many of you and you're dispensable and someone's just waiting there to take your place. And so there's that running right in the back of your head, just as an artist, I feel. And then I feel like I'm cheating on my dream. When I, you know, like I, you know, I need to talk about, I need to do another episode talking about leaving my show, but it's like, it was a decision that I made consciously. And while I'm happy with that decision and I know that the payoff is going to be great because I am going to have time to spend with my daughter in, you know, the spring and summer and do fun things and see my nephew be born. Do you know what I mean? Aww. Like there are life things happening.
Yeah.
That will fill my cup. And that way, there's still that little voice over here that's like, but you're not going to be doing a Broadway show. You're not going to be going to the theater 8 times a week. Who are you if you're not doing a show 8 times? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's a big, I think that's a, it's a hard thing to admit to yourself. You're like, I know I shouldn't put all my self-worth, wrap it all up in this. But for so long it was. And now it has to shift. And not only is it shifting, which is a good thing, but also now you're older and you're different. And will there be work when you decide to come back? You know what? It's all that. It's all right. That. I don't have a Tony nomination like Miss Elizabeth Stanley.
Oh, please.
No, that's what we didn't even shout that out. But that,
I know,
yes.
Right?
Yes. And the photo of you, we did talk about that last time.
Last time we talked to you, yeah.
Pumping at
in the
Tony Awards. Yes. Oh my God. But it's just, it's a real struggle. And I'm so glad we have these conversations so that people can know that they are not alone and that no matter who you are, I mean, I remember Patti LuPone saying something about her son, Josh, and what it was like to be away from him, you know, and this was a time where hardly anybody was trying to balance the two, you know, and that it was only because her husband was able to not work that she was able to continue to do it, you know? And so when you have two working parents, as so many of us have to be, this time, the pull is, it's really difficult to figure it out and how to make it happen. And for some people, you know, on the contracts that we have on Broadway, all their paycheck goes to a sitter. So then you really have to want to be there. You know, that's the thing. Is it worth it? Is it because I'm not making any money? I'm not bettering my life or my standing or my savings. Right. I'm literally just here because my heart wants to be here.
Yeah.
And take that time away from my child. And oof. I think, but you know what? Those beautiful summer stock gigs, they'll be here next summer too. And the summer after that.
I mean,
You know?
I hope you're right.
No, yeah. They will be.
No, I mean, they will
like,
be.
You know, my agent said to me a long time ago when I got pregnant and I was so nervous, and he was like, the business is always here. Yeah. Life will not be. Yeah. These moments will not be, but the business will always be here.
And I will speak from experience. I have had so many instances where I have made decisions for my life that weren't necessarily what would be the obvious decision for my career. And my career has benefited from it in really like wondrous ways. Anytime that I did something for the betterment of my life, the universe was like, well, here you go. Here's something for your career. You know what I mean?
That.
So
yeah,
I do have faith in that.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That's nice to hear. Yeah. I do kind of feel that way. I've thought that a little bit sometimes of like some of the things I've been saying no to, or, you know, but I'm like, I've been given the advice to say no to that kind of thing, you know, over the years at different times. And I've always been like, oh, no, there's a reason that I want to say yes. But I know for my career, it might be better if I said no. You know, it might push me, you know, might open a new path or a new door. And so I guess, yeah, I feel hopeful that maybe that'll be true, that I'll be surprised by, you know, new things that happen because of saying no to other things.
You make yourself open and available to who knows what, whatever will come your way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait to see what it is, Elizabeth.
I know, me too.
Hey. You're like. But likewise for you with, you know, transitioning with leaving your show. That's a huge choice. And I look forward to seeing like what's, you know, what is next for you.
Thanks.
It's going to be so good for you, Jess.
Yeah.
Thanks. I think, you know, yeah. The pandemic made a lot of things clear, right?
And, yeah.
For better or for worse. So. Anyways, yep. Well,
thank you, friend. Thank you so much, Elizabeth.
Thanks for being here.
It's really nice to talk to other moms. It's really, thanks for having me.
We have to actually make it happen now. We even set on another one, but we do have to meet up. We don't live that far away. So we need to do
when it's no longer 20 degrees.
I know. Not exactly. In this weather.
Exactly. Oh my gosh, for sure. Well, have a great day.
Thanks. You too.
Talk soon.
Okay. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Mama's Talking Loud. Special shout outs to Justin Squiggs Robertson for our fabulous new graphic, Kristen Lopez, Bobby Lopez, and Justin Wardweber for our awesome theme song, and of course, the Broadway Podcast Network for bringing us to you.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.